Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the Pee Wees to the Preps and the Pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good afternoon, Tampa Bay, and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network on this February 4th, live from our Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. I'm Mike Rickard alongside my wingman, and of course that is baseball Ben Botham on a Super Soccer Saturday on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I told you, baseball boy, yesterday you better bone up. And but we brought some heavy hitters here that'll keep us in our lane talking the great game of soccer. Hey, by the way, I wanted to show this to Jim Hart. Ferg made sure I had this, so there was some representation that we knew. We have a soccer ball on the set because we're going to talk to the Triton men's soccer team. We'll talk to Jim Hart today, but the Champions Tour, the Champions League in the high school world, and then we're going to talk to your alma mater, the Seminole Lady Warhawks, and we'll talk to their head coach as well, and it should be a great day. Welcome back, man. You left me hanging last Saturday. Colder than you know what here last Saturday, and you're up north.
Yeah, I had to go on up there. It was the old alumni game. I had to throw a couple pitches and see how that went. So
you threw a couple pitches?
Yeah, it didn't go over great, but you know, I was competitive, Mike. I still got a couple bullets left in the tank.
So. He pitched at Savannah State, and now he's the coach up at Seminole High, his alma mater. But he was a submariner. You soccer guys, he's a submariner. There wasn't a catcher that ever wanted to catch you, was there?
No, I didn't make a lot of friends in the catching department, unfortunately.
So, geez, you're only 24. You're already having reunions?
Well, every year after you graduate, we do an alumni game. You know, there's some old timers. My third baseman was like 55, pushing.
My man.
Yeah, he allowed a couple base runners on for me. So he wasn't my man.
You're probably on him. He's out there. He's 55 years old, and you're probably in his face.
Hey, Mike, my arm was hanging after a couple of his pitches. Those guys were fouling him off. I told them all fastballs that day. I just wanted to keep it over the plate.
Well, as we do each and every Saturday, we should just be calling it the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Variety Show. We're going to talk a little college soccer here in a minute, and then we'll switch gears. We're going to talk wrestling with Coach Goog, who's just a passionate wild man in the world of soccer, known for his state championships, the things he did at the collegiate level. We'll talk to him. Then Big O and the Axeman will join us, and we'll do our segment, let them talk a little bit about the NFL. Well, no, I'm not going to let them talk about the Powder Puff NFL Pro Bowl. We will talk a little Super Bowl. We'll talk college basketball. And then, of course, we'll talk about the decision. What did you think? I told you it was going to happen. It's the Hines Rays development was selected by Mayor Ken Welch, and that is superb for us here at Ferg's. Baseball will be here. They're still playing some negotiations, which is typical Ray's way of doing business, to be quite frank with you.
I think they have till May to finalize, you know, who's paying for what, how it's all going to happen. But for the most part, everything's done, and it looks like baseball is going to stay here in St. Petersburg.
Great. So we'll be talking to the Spartan from Michigan State and Alex Reba, the pride of Penn State and Nittany Lions. That'll be about 1 o'clock. And then we will talk little ladies soccer with the Seminole girls. Why don't you go over? You got anything you want to do in the Fergs from the front row before I dive into this conversation?
Well, we all saw that Tom Brady has retired, Mike. But I don't know if you saw this, that a jar of the sand, Mike, from the location where Tom Brady retired, is now listed on eBay with over 91 bids going for $90,000. Mike, you gonna drop a bid in there?
Yeah, I'll get right on it. Are you kidding me?
Over $90,000. Last time I checked, it was going up $91,000 for just a jar of sand from the beach where Tom Brady retired.
Where was that down at? I think it was down on the Miami area, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was either there. I didn't see where the location was. They posted a picture with the New York Times behind it. But I was about to say, Mike, we could send you out to Katiki, pick up a little bit of sand, and we can make a couple extra bucks for the show here.
Absolutely. Okay, so this weekend, here's your options if you guys watch any American sport. It's horrible. Well, you got the NHL All-Star Game. That's not that bad.
No, that's at least competitive. It's
that's
fun.
Right down here, that's where the Florida Panthers play. That's in state. You've got the Senior Bowl, college football, which, you know, that's got some merit.
Sure.
It's the 74th anniversary down in Birmingham, Alabama. But then you have the Powder Puff flag football, Pro Bowl games, they call them. Why they even have an event is beyond me, because people are making excuses not to participate. They're playing dodgeball.
Yeah. Well, what's his name from the Bills? Is out playing
Josh Allen's right playing now. Golf. He's a smart man. He's at the AT&T. He's at the AT&T Pro-Am in Carmel, California. It's not very nice out there right now, but yeah, he took time off. Aaron Rodgers is out there. He's filled in a lot of questions on where he'll play next year. As a Green Bay Packer fan, I don't care where he plays. It's time to move on from him holding the Packers hostage.
Well, Mike, how about arena football? You see, arena football is making a comeback.
Near and dear to my heart.
24. You know, I love the Tampa Bay Storms. They announced that 16 teams are going to be playing with a 10-game season coming in 2024, and they're already trying to get Brady to come play for them. So I've been seeing they've been posting Brady make a third comeback in arena football.
What did they say?
So right now on their official Twitter and Instagram, they're posting that they want Tom Brady to come out of retirement again for a third time and come play arena football, hopefully maybe here in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll jump right on that opportunity. It'd be great if they could talk him into putting, you know, like a jersey on and having a photo op, something like that.
Yeah, hopefully the Storms come back. That was always fun to go see. And, you know, it's a fun, exciting, fast-paced football game.
Okay, one last factoid from the old man, then we'll move on and we'll talk soccer. Okay, the great game arena football was founded by my good friend Jim Foster. I've told you this, in Des Moines, Iowa. He worked for the NFL. And in downtown New York, he had taken a lunch break with his buddy, and he sat down, and he said, "I've got an idea for an indoor football game." His friend thought he was talking about soccer. He said, "No, football." And he laid out the game on a napkin, and he put a bunch of passion and energy into it and ended up, launching a game that at one time was at its height. You had guys like John Bon Jovi owned a team, John Elway, Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. I was heavily involved at the Iowa Barnstormers. I did all the programs. And Kurt Warner, who two-time Super Bowl champion and MVP, Kurt Warner played for us. And it was at its height, and it would have been a great feeder system to the NFL. However, the greed of the players, they saw the jack that the guys in the pros were making. They wanted more salaries because they got an ESPN contract. So they thought they got television money, but they weren't there yet. And it's not a big enough audience to merit the same kind. The biggest problem was they went out and wanted health insurance, which you can't blame them. They wanted health insurance. You know how expensive health insurance is for an NFL team alone? So that was the demise of arena football. Everybody bailed out, and now it's AF2. And it's fun. But, young college guys like this, my son being one of them, he goes, "Dad, I got an opportunity to play indoor football when he graduated. $200 a game." I said, "You got a degree, business degree, and there's no insurance. Get your ass to work and forget about football. You had a nice career in life." So, yeah, arena football, I loved it. And across the street, I guess it was the real deal.
See, I never saw it over there. I've only seen
it. You're only 24.
Well, at Amalie Arena, I saw it.
Oh, did you?
Yep. That was some of my favorite.
Mark Ferguson proposed to his wife at a Storm game on the big screen. The owner of Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and any of those guys that ask, a woman on the big screen to get married, I always just wonder, God, these guys have got to be rock solid. There have been some guys that have been shut out. Can you imagine national television, and you're proposing, and the next thing you know, on the Jumbotron, she tells you no. That would be unbelievable. All right, I digress. Well, let's talk soccer now. Let's talk Triton time. Why don't we start with Coach and put that mic right there in front of you. How have you been, man?
I'm good. I haven't seen you in a year. It's good to be back.
Well, I saw you one day when I came over to see Tommy Ryan. Oh,
that's true, yeah.
Yeah, you guys were, I think you were watching the girls game.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, you were watching the girls on, somebody was streaming it. And you were in.
Was it? Yeah, we were in the office watching the girls play down at Lynn.
Yeah, you were intense. I remember that. So I felt like I was interrupting. And I went down to Amanda Green's office. Anyway, introduce the young men here. Of course, these guys are all Brits, all three of them. And
yeah, so we have Victor Milton, who's a sophomore, just had some adversity, tore his ACL last year, and is just on the mend from that. And then Tommy Shepherd here, who was our second ever All-American last year. With 11 goals and 8 assists, I think, something like that, was it?
4, I wish you were right.
4 assists.
Hey, roll with that.
Picking him up.
Roll with that, yeah. So you've got a sophomore and a senior. What's this team look like this year?
We're excited about the group.
Talk a little closer to that.
Sorry, John. We're excited about the group. We spent the last 2 years, it's kind of post-COVID, rebuilding. And we've got a bunch of guys that have been successful as freshmen and sophomores going into junior and senior years that we think are going to have a real big impact on the group. So we're excited about next year.
Well, as Jim asked you, how did you get these guys? Well, obviously you're from England. It's got to be a blast for you because you played there, but you get to go home to recruit. So you get see a little family and friends.
It's nice.
That's a big perk for the job, my friend.
A little bit of Christmas, see mum and dad and all that stuff.
So you time it at Christmas time?
Always time it at Christmas. Yeah.
Well, and then you give athletes a Christmas present if you make them an offer during Christmas time as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's funny. I mean, you know, we don't only go to England. This year I went to Tel Aviv, Sweden, Norway, France, Italy. So travel all over watching different players and trying to find the best talent we can. Combined with, you know, local talent as well.
You know what I tell the other coaches from Eckerd that come down here? I tell them, you know, I'm very impressed with Eckerd's campus. I mean, the program, I love Tom Ryan, the tradition, the number of coaches that actually played there and stay there and have that emotional equity in Eckerd as a former Triton. But I typically tell them, I'm not that impressed with your recruiting. Because once you get the students to that campus and they see the beach and they get a taste of this life, it's a done deal. They're in.
Absolutely.
You actually put a lot of effort to it because you have to travel a lot.
Well, we try to time it. If they come on campus, we take them down to South Beach around sunset, and it's usually a done
deal. That's a close. Yeah, right there.
All we need is a dolphin jumping out of the water, and it's a silly.
Yeah, ball. Well, I've for 2 years now, I have threatened. I've got nice Triton gear, and I'm going to take my beach chair, and the old man's going to go over there and set up my paper and sit on that beach because it's so crowded where I am at Sunset Beach. You'll think I'm some old creeper coming off the street. I'll just say I'm a big benefactor, and I'm sitting. But that's just a gorgeous campus. I'm actually going over to watch the girls and the men's game a little bit later today. Yeah. Nicole Scales is now my intern.
Okay.
Yeah, point guard from the Chicago area. She left North Dakota State to go to Eckerd. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah, well, that's a smart girl. North Dakota is right now is probably about 15 below zero, guys. So that was a wise move by Nicole. So what's the strength of the Sunshine State Conference this year?
Well, there's, you know, it's the Conference of National Champions, so they call it. The strength of the league is probably the age or the average age of the other teams. You know, most teams use grad school to their advantage. So I think the average age of the league was like 26 last year.
26?
Yeah, which is insane for a college level. We're not. We're a four-year school without grad school. So we're recruiting true 18, 19-year-olds to 22. So it's a really good opportunity for our guys to go and prove themselves against older, you know, more established players, but also gives them a wonderful opportunity if they can be successful at 22 to go move on and continue their career.
Well, let me ask you this, though. It's still 4 years of eligibility is the NCAA standard, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's ways that you can go part-time and full-time to part-time and extend that a little bit. Yeah, so.
Well, I know that COVID provided an option for an additional year there for everybody at every level, understandably. But 26-year-old, well, a lot. You're recruiting guys across the pond that might be 20 years old when you recruit them. Is that correct?
Well, occasionally, yeah, most of our guys...
Or some of the schools are definitely doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, especially with the COVID year, a lot of people took that year, you know, off, and so typically people are coming into the college game slightly older.
100 years ago when I ran track at Western Kentucky, and I had a bunch of a roommate from Birmingham, and they came over as 20 and 21-year-old freshmen. Here I am, 18, you know, from the States, just getting slaughtered by them. But these guys came over, and a lot of schools were doing that, offering, you know, the foreign aid opportunity to participate in sport as well.
Yep, absolutely. You know, for me, it's the dangling carrot. You get to come and play against, you know, some really good, strong, established guys, and go prove yourself. And so I think these guys have got a really big opportunity next year to show people that, you know, you don't have to be older to be successful. We've got a really young, ambitious group.
Is it safe to say that the Sunshine State Conference is the SEC of Division II?
Absolutely, yeah.
I would say that, looking from top to bottom. And Jim Hart, and we'll talk to him a little bit later on. He coached there years ago. But I think the strength of that conference, when I'm looking at it, and I had the baseball team down, and there's a lot of guys on that baseball team that could play Division I in other pockets of the state, and Ben played against them. He knows that in baseball as well. Why don't we pass the microphone over to the All-American. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming down. I'm sure that there was other things you wanted to do on a Saturday than come down and talk to an old man on the microphone, but at least you're at Ferg Sports Bar. That's the beauty of it.
It could be worse.
Yes, it could be. So let's talk. What's your favorite memory so far of being at Eckerd College?
I think definitely some of the moments we've had on the field. So one of the goals I scored this year against Florida Tech, the teal out, so we get all the athletes and everyone to come watch. I scored a goal, what was it, probably 10 minutes before halftime. Everyone, you know, jumped on us. You know, like those are the moments you remember forever. So.
And the moments and the memories and the teammates and where you were, was it at Eckerd?
Yeah, it was at home. Yeah.
All right. Do you remember when Coach got a hold of you? Do you have agents over? Do they have agents that reach out and then you follow up?
Yeah, typically.
Yeah. It was all kind of done through him. You know, he got in contact with Coach, and then Coach watched my highlight reel, because it was when I was recruited. It was kind of COVID was still around, so it was a struggle for you to go overseas to recruit. So it was all done by videos.
Let me ask you this. Did you have other schools that you would, it was Eckerd and several other schools that you were looking at?
Yeah, there was a couple. But you know, with Fletch, the coach being English, it was definitely a factor for me. You know, the location here is,
what'd you think of that when you first arrived?
Yeah, it was good.
Good deal.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you already sign your scholarship offer and then come across, or were you fortunate enough to come over and take a look and then go home and make a decision?
I'd signed before I'd actually visited the campus in the St. Pete area.
Well, it's the 21st century. They can show you the whole campus, you know, zooming in on video. And that's great. What did your family think about you going so far away from home?
Mom always says to me, you know, she's asked the question, you know, like, how can you let them do it? But she was always really supportive of me doing it. They saw it as such a good opportunity for me to try and pursue my career in soccer. So yeah, both mum and dad have been really supportive, but I mean, I hope they miss me, but.
Well, I'm certain they miss you.
Yeah.
And we're going to give them an opportunity to listen, and we archive this too as well, so they'll be able to listen back home. What's the time difference? 6-7 hours?
Five hours?
Five. Just five? I think it's more. Good. You have any siblings?
Yeah, two sisters. So one's older, one's younger. So I'm right slap bang.
Why don't we do a shout out to mom and dad, their names, and your sisters, so they smile when they hear that when they're archiving it.
Paula, John, hi, how you doing? Miss you. Emma probably ain't gonna listen, my younger sister. But and then yeah, Ashley, hello.
Well, that's cool. I mean, your family supported you all the time when you were playing. What age do you start playing over in England?
I played from a very young age, you know, since I could walk. I was at two different professional sides throughout my childhood, and then I didn't get a professional contract over in England, so that was when I decided to come here. But played for a long time.
Okay, now the process, and this is how it was in club track and field, as my roommate identified. You play club sports in England, correct?
Yeah.
And so do clubs, is it based on your neighborhood, kind of like it is here for high schools, or can Fletch, who's coaching a club, come after you regardless of where you live? He can go out and recruit. He's got like travel teams here.
Yeah, that's right. I played for my local club when I started, you know, all those years ago, just because of convenience, really. But you know, you can go. So
a coach could load up a team from the entire area if he wanted to. Well, then once you've loaded it up, and this is the Champions League, once you've loaded the team up, and it's the haves and the have-nots, and it happens, you know, high school across America. So it doesn't seem fair, but that's just the reality of it. I mean, you got teams that are soft. I mean, they're scrubs, unfortunately. They don't get a chance to play, but they get a chance to play. But then you've got these elite teams. Were you on one of those elite teams then?
Yeah, only, you know, through the youth ranks. So from age, I think it was 9 till I was 16.
So do you stay with the same? You stayed with the same team for 7 years.
I was with one team for 5 years, and then another.
Wow. So the coaches get to know these guys, and so when you get done with that, you're done with school. Then what are your options? Go to college in the States or wherever.
Yeah.
Or
university in England. Or if you're good enough, then you play football or soccer full time,
and get paid for it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like in baseball here, the minor leagues, going straight from high school to the minors.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so they pick up your expenses and obviously a paycheck.
Yeah, that's right.
That was your first goal, or did you want to go to school?
No, that was my first goal, but you know,
I think you took the better option going to Akron.
I agree. Yeah, I wouldn't change the decision I made to come here.
You might be bartending some pub right now and playing soccer on the side.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 19.
Oh, you wouldn't be bartending in a pub yet.
Yeah. No. Over the seas I could be, but not here. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Well, you obviously have a fit in. Congratulations on your All-American. I'm sure you've got some high expectations for the rest of your career. What are you majoring in?
I'm a psychology major.
You know what? I had the softball girls down. What, they have 5 psychology majors?
Yeah, is that the big thing over there at Eckerd? Psychology?
They wanted to use me as like a dummy for some of their papers. I said, I don't think you want to go there.
Yeah, it's more marine science, marine biology.
That's what I thought.
Actually being on the water. But yeah, no, psychology has always interested me. So,
well, good for you, young man. Well, I'll make sure I get out. I promised Fletch that last year, and I need to get out and watch you guys. And then I need you to give me. Well, probably now that I'm getting to know Jim, I'd rather go with an old guy to give me dummy 101 soccer lessons. And I'm gonna take Ben along because we're gonna have times like this, baseball, Ben Botham, when we're talking soccer, and we got to be, you know, a little knowledgeable. Your favorite team was?
I'm an Arsenal fan.
Arsenal.
Yeah.
My daughter is Liverpool. And she wants me to become a Reds. Really? I got Reds gear coming. My son is a diehard Tottenham, and he's got me all geared up in Tottenham.
That's a shame.
But and my son and I are fans. I used to work for the Cubs, so in baseball, so we're fans there. Same football team. My daughter, who doesn't care about anything but soccer, and she's in medicine in Chicago, she said, she just got back from the last gym. She said, you are not a Tottenham fan anymore. You are a Liverpool fan. And I said, well, I love the Beatles, so I'm in. And he got me some Reds gear. Now my son Ben's pissed at me now because I've given up Tottenham. So I pull for both of them. But you obviously don't.
Yeah, no, just the Arsenal for me, yeah.
All right. All right, young man. I'm sorry, your name again?
Victor Milton.
Victor Milton. And you're a sophomore?
Yeah, I'm a sophomore, yeah.
And you're on the mend now, are you?
Yeah, I tore it my first game at Eckerd, actually. It was like
your first game?
My first game.
At Eckerd, my, PCU, Milton.
Yeah, so.
Talk a little bit louder, Jim.
Yeah, sorry. I tore it. It was a re-tear, so I had to have 2 surgeries. And now, 16, 17 months down the line, I'm able to now play again. So,
well, God bless you on that. The biggest problem is the mental aspect of it. It has to be as you're, you know, in a new country, your family probably wanted you to come home.
Yeah.
Talk about that whole process. I mean, obviously he had your back and understood what you're going through, and thank God he did, because you know you're going to enjoy the rest of your career.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, the sort of support that I had around it, always like getting messages from coach, like asking if I need anything after surgery, and you know, the boys, and I think the lifestyle sort of away from soccer as well is like really helpful. You know, the weather, sort of lifestyle away from football, like always having your teammates around you, I think it's really important, and that definitely helped. I mean, when I tore it back home, it was in a more professional environment, so it's a lot more serious. You know, 6, 7, 8 hours a day, I'm just in the physio room, you know, away from all my teammates. And, you know, the days get dark, but here they're definitely much, much lighter and, you know, a lot more
lighter, brighter.
Yeah.
Well, as they say, you know, sun does, vitamin D does help you mentally get through some dark times. And that was a dark time for you. So you're a sophomore. How old are you?
I'm 21. So I'm sort of that.
You're the old guy.
Gap year. Yeah. During the COVID one, I went overseas and played in Sweden. And then after that, I came back, and that's where I decided I wanted to, you know, explore my options a bit more and with college soccer here in America. And then through my sort of, what do you call them these days, not agents, sort of, sort of handler, got in touch with Coach Fletcher, and the rest's history.
Well, let me ask you that. You went and you played professionally?
No, I was...
I was going to say, so because there's that NCAA issue. You pay for play, I mean, and play for pay, then you can't play at the collegiate level. How do you get around that?
It wasn't like on a professional contract. So it's a professional club. They're in the third division of English football, Oxford United. I was there on, so where he sort of didn't get his contract, 2-year youth contract, I got mine. And that's where you play full time. You know, you live at like with a host family.
Oh, they host it. Okay.
The club sort of.
I did that with youth hockey back in the day. Yeah.
And the club sort of sorts everything out for you. You know, you eat at the club. Your host family maybe provides dinner for you, but you eat breakfast and lunch at the club, and, you know, you get a wage. It's not anything crazy, but, you know, it's enough to.
A stipend so you can maybe go on a date or.
Yeah, no, it was a decent amount of money, but, you know, it's nothing outlandish like, you know, some of the pay this season.
Well, obviously, you don't have your favorite memory of something that happened at Eckert yet.
I mean, just watching on the side, like, it's still, everyone's very engaged. We're all part of it still. I mean, I don't think I've really missed a day, even with like injury and stuff like that. So always there, always around the boys. And I think I'm as, you know, as into it as they are, even from the bench. So.
Well, that's a superb attitude to get you through that. And you need leaders like that. You know, he can, as kids coming into the program next year, not kids, to me, as other players come onto the team next year, you're a role model of perseverance and, you know, what you've been through with, and you're still maintaining a positive attitude. How about one memory playing in your youth that was special?
I think, I think probably the one that I always look back on was when we, I think I was about 15, 16, and we've gone away to Chelsea in the Floodlit Cup, and, they hadn't lost at home in that tournament for a good 15 years. And I remember our coach giving us a massive talk before the game saying, how like special this was. And then we went out there, you know, we were getting battered the whole game, but we scored like 2 counter-attack goals, ended up winning 2-1. And like, I just remember us being like over the moon. I mean, I was young at the time, but looking back on it, that was probably one of like...
Well, you're never going to forget that.
One of the most enjoyable games, you know, against Chelsea. They're like a, you know, big team. Everyone knows who Chelsea is. And then us, West Brom, we went down there and beat them at their own, on their own soil. So that was good fun. I mean, there's a few more, but, you know, that one was probably like a more important one.
I'm trying to remember a pub that I spent too much time in Birmingham with my mates from Western Kentucky and the track team. These guys, they swayed me in the wrong direction a few times, but I had some superb memories, and I've talked to them all the time now. And a couple of them ran in the Olympics in 84. For Britain, but I enjoyed Birmingham.
You should go. You should see it now if you haven't been for a while.
I do need to go back over, you know, now that I'm a little older and calmer. Might take more in the sights. You got anybody back at home you want to do a shout out to? The names?
My brother, he's still in Birmingham. Oliver, say hi to him. And then my parents, they're in Sweden now, Mike and Marie Milton.
So, oh, they're in Sweden now?
Yeah, my mom's Swedish. So.
Okay.
Yeah, they live in southern Sweden.
Well, they'll be able to listen as well. What are you majoring in?
Marketing.
Well, I'm going to be looking, and you're a sophomore?
Yeah.
I'm looking, I've got Nicole, she's a senior, she's going to be helping me out on the basketball team, but well, we need to talk about internship. Help me through that process. I need all the youngsters I can get, and I'll make sure Fletch is on you, because the office is right here at Ferg's. And you don't have to come down here very often, so it's a lot of fun. All right, fellas, well, I appreciate you taking time. I wish you need the comeback of the year award, this young man, for your perseverance. I respect that. You already made a name for yourself early in the game, All-American, and I appreciate you coming down as well. You want to pass that microphone over to Coach, and we'll wind things down here. There you go. Yeah, whatever the closest one is. But you got a couple good ones here.
Yeah, good guys. Proud of them.
Yeah, you should be proud of them.
It's fun to see them grow and evolve as people and, you know, athletes, students, but seeing them grow as men and you listen to them there. They're, you know, level-headed for such young guys.
Okay, one last question, the three of you. During the World Cup, and this place was jam-packed, how bad did you think you're going to kick America's butt and it didn't happen? Because I would have had the old red, white, and blue going, baby.
I don't know. They're kind of a bogey team for us. We always struggle against America, so I didn't fancy us to play that well, and we didn't. The U.S. were excellent. They were really good that day.
I need to introduce you to a friend of mine, Mark Lindsay. You've probably your paths have crossed. He's from Bristol, and he lives here. And one of the original rowdies, and I had some fun with him. I was texting him, and then he wasn't having fun with it. He wasn't replying to the text because he knows I don't know anything about soccer. But I was stunned by that, and I'm sure you guys all were.
Yeah, like I said, I thought the U.S. were brilliant that day. You know, should have beaten us. But it's funny because I've got people from like 5 years ago that I've never heard from, and all of a sudden I'm getting text messages.
Yeah, of course.
U.S. flag.
Oh, yeah. Well, if I would have thought of you, I've got your number. I would have been one of those pains in the butt. All right, fellas. Thanks very much for making Triton time like this. Enjoyed the stories. I'll text Coach. He knows where your families can archive this and listen to it. And good luck. And kick some butt this year, and we'll have you back down for Titan time. Okay? Thanks, Coach. All right, let's take a break. We're running over. We're going to talk wrestling and Coach Goog, the Wild Man. We'll be back here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
Well, first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. The only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
It's another weekend. You can wash the car today.
No.
You can mow the grass today.
No.
You can go fishing.
Oh, hell yeah.
When it's time to go fishing or head out on the water, your first stop should be at Angler 360. Angler 360 is located on the Dunedin Causeway and is the one-stop shop for all your fishing needs and water recreational needs. Angler 360 has rods, reels, live and frozen bait, tackle, beer, and soda, plus apparel and sunglasses. Make sure you stop in and see exactly why Angler 360 is the premier bait and tackle destination in the Tampa Bay area. Visit them at angler360.com.
Big Storm Brewing Company helps you weather any storm. From their award-winning Bramosa Tangerine IPA to their original Wavemaker Amber Ale, Big Storm has you covered. Give Florida's craft beer forecast a shot today and find out where you can get your Big Storm at BigStormBrewery.com. Enjoy an ice-cold Big Storm at tap rooms located in Clearwater, Orlando, Ybor City, and Odessa.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and we are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill each and every Saturday, bringing you a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros. And that was a great conversation with the men's Triton soccer team. Three Brits come over here to pursue their dream. Very cool.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how over there they don't really have college sports. Isn't that kind of strange?
Well, it is, but it's been that way for years, and it's club or, you know, it's club or pro, and then they look for opportunities, especially in the world of soccer, especially in the world of golf, track and field. Yeah, no sports.
We had a lot of tennis players from overseas, a couple from Ukraine, Russia, all over the place, and we even got some at Savannah State from I think we had some from Brazil as well.
Oh, that conversation was brought to you by our good friends at Eckerd College, Tom Ryan and the gang. I'm going to try to get over to a game today, watch a little men's and women's basketball, and then Nicole Scales, my Cracker Jack intern. She's a senior, only got a few more home games. Right now, let's switch gears. We go from soccer to grappling and a body armor prep connection. And this man he lives and breathes the world of wrestling. He's got a ton of energy. Coach Goog, what's happening, man?
What's going on, man? I appreciate you getting me on today. This is a lot of fun.
Well, I just love your enthusiasm for the sport. It's amazing how many friends I have, you know, being from Iowa, that have the same passion for the great sport, the oldest sport there is in the Olympics, and the passion they have, and the state of Iowa is consumed by it. And I was stunned, as I told you, when I moved here 6.5 years ago, how big wrestling was in Florida. I didn't have a clue, and I didn't think that it would be that big.
Well, you know, there's just so many transplants down here from the north and from the Midwest. We kind of come down here, and you know how the Florida people say, "Oh, don't tell us how you do it up north." But in wrestling, we do. We there's so many people down here with great knowledge of the sport, and they share it with the Floridian. Now, Jersey, I'm a Jersey boy, so the attitude comes along with it.
Well, talk about how you got involved in the sport. At what age? And now decades later, you still consume it. You coach it. You promote it. You're involved in it. Let's go back and take it from the start.
Yeah, I'm 55 now. 55 years old. I officiate, and I'm the head wrestling coach at Manatee High School. Kind of the overseer of the Manatee Wrestling Club. So it does take a lot of time and effort. But I started back in when I was 7 in second grade. My cousin needed a practice partner, so he got me involved so he could whoop up on me. And then it just kind of took off. I wrestled up north in Jersey growing up, and then we moved down here to Florida. And I was concerned, like you said, that there wouldn't be a whole lot of wrestling down here. And it's definitely not on the level. Back then it wasn't in 1983. It wasn't on the level of a Jersey or Iowa, but it was big, bigger than I thought. So I went to Manatee High. I graduated from Manatee High. I was a so-so wrestler, but I found out at an early age that I was an even better coach. So I went to college, wrestled for a year at Pembroke State in North Carolina, and came home, got my degree, and I said, I want to coach at Manatee. So it took about 3 years of coaching somewhere else for me to get Manatee's attention. And the rest is history. I've been at Manatee for 28 years now. Been very successful. I've got an amazing program, a great group of parents, a great group of assistant coaches and supporters that have been involved with the sport for 40, 50 years. And Manatee Wrestling has deep traditions all the way back to the 70s and even the late 60s. We were one of the best programs on the Southwest Florida, on this area. And still today, we're what I consider one of the top teams in the area. Definitely in Manatee and Sarasota counties. But we went down to Charlotte last Thursday, and Charlotte showed us who's boss. They took the snap out of us. They got us pretty good last Thursday, but there's a reason why they're ranked number three in the state.
You know, with your ties up north, and then, of course, you know, Ohio, Iowa, Michigan, even Minnesota, and especially now Penn State, number one ranked in the country, and Kale Sanderson that Penn State stole away from my Iowa State Cyclones with a brand new facility, and now they took it to Iowa this week in the duels. But how many kids from this part of the country, from Florida, are migrating up north to wrestle? You probably have got a heck of a pipeline in the 28 years that you've been there.
Let me tell you, I've had quite a few myself go D1, and the thing is, if they want to wrestle Division I, they have to go somewhere else, because we don't have a Division I program in Florida. We have NAIA, we have several NAIA, and several, I don't even know if there's two, I think they're all NAIA programs. But we need a D1, because every year we watch our best here in Florida go somewhere else, right? Several of them went to the University of Iowa. There's one there right now. There's several all over the place. If we could keep those kids home, it would be amazing how good of a program we could have here in Florida. Not to mention, you know, those guys from Iowa, they want to get the heck out of Iowa and come down to Florida during these winter months, right? Who wouldn't want to come down and get out of Jersey or Pennsylvania or Iowa or Nebraska? And look at the weather we have today. It's February 4th, and it's beautiful out. Beautiful.
You're absolutely right. I would think that maybe like a Florida International, an FAU, one of those programs that would like to, you know, get a name for itself. It has a hard time battling the big boys in the marquee sports, in football, baseball, basketball. But if they put together funding, I would think that they could have some success from that perspective, you know, and get themselves a name in the world.
Well, the biggest thing, and the funding's not big, you know. Title IX, of course, what you would have to do if you added a men's program, you just add a women's program. But it's that big now. It's taken off. It's the fastest growing sport in America, women's wrestling. So you just add a men's and you add a women's. They share a wrestling match, so that's not an additional expense. The biggest expense for a wrestling team is travel. And so there's ways to do that. But we need it here. And we have some names that could coach a Division I program. We have a guy that's the associate head coach at Virginia Tech. He wrestled here at Clearwater, right up the road from you, at Clearwater Countryside. Jared Frere, he would be an amazing coach. The guy at Wisconsin right now, Chris Bono, he's a three-time state champ from Florida. And look at him. He's up there at Whiskey, kicking butt at Wisconsin. And I think he would love to come down and maybe start a D1 program. But the schools that make the most sense, in my opinion, would be Florida State and maybe Miami, because they're in the ACC. The ACC already supports about six or seven top-of-the-line wrestling programs, so it wouldn't take much. I think that would make sense. Imagine a program at Florida State University. That would be awesome.
Well, and I think at 65 years young, you might be a prime candidate to be part of that coaching staff.
Hey, 55.
Oh, I thought you said 6'5". You're double nickels.
Oh,
I'm double. I'm on route 66. I'm 11 years older than you, youngster.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, I hope to get to that one day, but I'm gonna have a lot of fun from 55 to 65, Mike. There's no doubt. I got a lot of fun planned in these next 10 years.
I know you know how to have fun. You're going to come up, well, obviously, down where the Rays have been having their spring training for years, got damaged by Hurricane Ian. So, you know, we're going to have all of the spring games up here at Tropicana Field. Why don't you come up some Saturday, throw you on the air, and then I'll get you a ticket across the street for one of the spring games.
Well, that would be amazing. I would love to do that. It just so happens that today we had a tournament about a month ago that got canceled. So instead of filling the spot, I said, you know what? I'm going to get my guys the weekend off. We're going to relax, and we're going to get ready for the postseason run with that's upcoming. I've got a strong squad. that's ready to prove themselves, if you will. We're 33-5 this year. That's
wow.
a heck of a record. We're ranked dual meet wise. We're ranked number 7 in the state. My boys are working hard, and we're ready to prove ourselves this postseason coming up here in a couple weeks.
Well, what I want you to do after the postseason, grab some of the fellas and come up here live in person and they can let their hair down. Last year, I had the Jesuit kids come over. I think I shared that story with Coach Sal over there at Jesuit. And these five wrestlers, they sat in front of me down here at Ferg's, and I thought it was the golf team. These guys did not look like wrestlers, but they all went on to places like UNI and Harvard.
Harvard,
yeah, Virginia Tech. Yeah, you know the drill. But I could have swore that they were the golf team the way they looked.
Thought you were looking at some preppy boys, huh? Well, you should see them when they strap it on and put it on the line. Those boys know how to bang. They go out there and rip some heads off. One of them, as a true freshman, is ranked like number 12 in the nation for Virginia Tech right now. One of the twins went up there, and he's kicking butt, man. They're representing the area very well. That's a great program at Jesuit.
There were twins, wasn't there?
Correct.
Yeah, in fact, their dad was from Bettendorf, Iowa.
Yeah.
And loved the Hawkeyes wrestling program. Yeah, I remember that vividly now. He's number 19 in the country?
Number 12, he was. He opened up the season by upsetting like the number 2 kid in the nation. And it was like, oh, who is this guy? Well, he had their attention from that point on.
Well, Sal's going to come on afterwards, but I'd like to get you and Sal together. That'd be a powder keg of energy down here at Ferg's, talking about your love for the great sport of wrestling.
Listen, I have nothing but respect for Sal and everything he's done. At Springstead, we had some wars back when he was there, and now he's at Jesuit doing amazing things. We had a tight duel. They got us this year in region. They got us, but it was a beautiful match. We love competition, and we don't back down from it. We want to wrestle the best team. I was just looking prior to coming on the air, just so I can throw some numbers at you. Out of the top 60 teams ranked in Florida in the dual meet ranking, we have wrestled 22 of them head to head, and we've beaten 16 of them. That's pretty dang good. So I was happy when I counted all that up to throw some numbers at you.
Well, those kind of numbers are, you know, strength of schedule. Prepare you for the postseason, certainly, because your guys have wrestled the best all year long versus a soft schedule. In any sport, that's the reality.
Exactly. You got to put them through the fire. And then you hope everybody comes out still healthy or healthy enough to finish the season. And you see how you do. I'm excited about the postseason. I just got a text from one of my captains. I know I gave them the weekend off, but the captain scheduled a run at Robinson's Preserve here in West Bradenton at 12:30. So as we're talking right now, my boys are out there working hard, getting ready for next weekend.
Hey, real quickly. I've got a friend, Coach David Sevier. He's over at King, and I just love the work he's done with those kids. And he's also has the girls program. How is the world of girls wrestling being received?
You know, at first it was people were very apprehensive, right? They were like, man, they're stealing our spotlight. They're this. It's nothing but helping. I don't know why anybody would look at it in a negative light. The girls work hard. I've got 5 on our roster. I've got 4 that come pretty regularly. It's a work in progress, but they're tough. Some of them are tougher than the boys. And they don't shy away from the contact. They wrestle right there with the boys, a lot of them. It's a beautiful thing. It's only going to get better. It's growing. It's like I said, it's the fastest growing sport in America. It does nothing to make them not feminine or girly. You know, when they wrestle, they're out there competing just like anybody else would. People need to get their preconceived ideas of what it is and get rid of it and actually come out and watch. And I think they'd be very impressed when they see the girls' strap.
All right, my friend. Well, I appreciate you taking time, a busy time of the year for you, your busy schedule. And I will reach out to you. Keep me posted on your success through the postseason, and then we'll get the guys up here after the season. How's that sound?
That sounds amazing. I appreciate it. Thank you for the little bit of time to promote wrestling and our program. Thank you, bud. Talk to you soon.
All right, man. That's our Body Armor Prep Connection talking a little wrestling. And do you know anything about wrestling either, buddy?
Not much, to be honest with you, Mike. Not much at all.
Well, you got to diversify, you Ben Baseball Botham. We got soccer in the house, and we got wrestling. And we're going to have Big O and the Axeman here in a little bit. You guys, I'm going to have you moderate that. I talked to Mr. Jim here, Mr. Hart, and you boys look like you're serious business today.
Well, we got Rutgers right now. I'm fully kitted out. I got my Draymond Green on right now. This guy's got his – went to Penn State, but he's a Dookie for whatever reason. They play UNC, so it's big college basketball. We're ready to talk some hoops today.
Why do you have that on? You're a Nittany Lion. You graduated from Penn State, you bandwagon rider.
Penn State has never made a tournament.
I just said bandwagon rider.
Identified.
Would you call that a bandwagon rider, Ben?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because you're a bandwagon rider, too.
Oh, my God.
We all have our moments. We've all got our spots.
Not when you're old and traditional. I still am a Packer fan. And we've had some bad years. Cubs fan, bad years. How about my Iowa Hawkeyes, Big Ten boys?
Hey.
Still sticking up for my...
You got to stick by him. You like your Iowa State, too, in hoops,
your
right?
Your generation controversial is what did you do for me yesterday?
No, absolutely.
Look at you, Detroit. You're a Boston Celtics fan.
I started with the Boston Celtics. Ray Allen's one of my favorite players of all time. It was one of my first teams watching. I didn't grow up during the 2004 run. That was way before I could remember.
You should
anything.
Be supporting of the team and the state you were born and raised in.
But if I love what's behind the team, if I love the culture, I grew up loving Celtics. What's wrong with that?
See, I digress. This is what's happened to this generation.
I grew up loving the Rays, and we were garbaggio for a majority of my life.
Well, I didn't run from the Pistons. It wasn't a
You're
runaway.
You wanted to get successful and get back on that bandwagon.
Wait, don't I have my Cunningham jersey, though?
He does. He does.
Oh, come on now.
So one for every team, so that way he's always a winner.
Once your Tigers get back on the roll, you're going to be on the Tigers bandwagon?
Absolutely not. No. Absolutely not.
Yep. And you're a Cleveland Indians fan?
No. I'm a Rays and Pirates guy.
Pirates guy.
Pirates are my team, but Rays are my adopted.
Well, you're a Pennsylvania.
That's how you know he's really down, because the Pirates.
I'm a Cavs fan because we don't have an NBA.
That's what I was wondering. Okay.
Yeah. And LeBron growing up, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Pirates fans back in the day, Willie Stargell and those days.
I'm tired of hearing about those days. Those days are long, long gone. So
but
let's
you're
get
still
them.
A fan.
Yes.
I admire you.
I'm tired of it.
24 years young?
24 in June. So 23. Yeah.
Well, I like that. All right. Well, when we come back from the break, we'll do a little opening. I got to take care of a little sponsorship business, and I'll throw it to Ben Botham. And then you guys, you can moderate. And if they start going off on the NBA, mute the mics. Oh, I'll still be sitting here. Mute the mics. We don't have enough time for NBA chatter, with the exception of, I'm not even going to say his name on the air.
Kyrie.
You just blew it. Now we're not having that segment. Is that the direction you're going to go? All right, we'll be back with positive perspective from the Pee Wees, the Preps, the Pros, and then we're going to be talking soccer for the balance of the show. Can you believe that? Alex, this is a soccer Saturday, so I might need your contributions here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.